Auckland Grey Power is pleased to sponsor this edition of Senior Focus. It's very wonderful to be on air again. I'm Anne-Marie Currie, your presenter today, and I'm making this program on World Elder Abuse Day. So in New Zealand, it's currently marked by a number of events over a whole week. And so there'll be things happening, and you may notice people wearing purple ribbons, and rather like the White Ribbon Campaign, and this is the Purple Ribbon Campaign. And you may notice announcements about the Elder Abuse 0800 number. You may see the purple signs. You know, there's all sorts of things happening. I will talk more about information and events and things towards the end of the program, but I have with me our guest in the studio for you today, Dr. Judy Blakey, who's a social science researcher. She's a health consumer rep, and she also advocates for the arts. She's managing an arts centre in Auckland and has a very strong pedigree in the area of community development. So I welcome Judy.
Thank you very much, Anne-Marie. It's a pleasure to join you on this auspicious day. I just say that I'm a Board of Trustees chair rather than the manager of the Arts Centre, because I think it's important that the strategic as opposed to the operational aspects are clearly delineated.
So, yes, yeah. And I know you're strict about that. So wearing lots of hats, it isn't easy to introduce you because you have got such a diverse portfolio of roles, but there's a real emphasis on making seniors more visible in our community and bringing their contribution out so people can appreciate them more.
Excellent. Yes, and to that effect, I thought I would just alert you to the fact that because of the importance of today, I received a newsletter from an organisation called Age Demands Action, which is a global network. And I was delighted to discover that they stated in their newsletter that campaigners in 47 countries will be calling for older people's rights to autonomy and independence to be respected and protected. And many will call on their governments to support the creation of a convention on older people's rights by attending July's open-ended working group on aging at the United Nations. And I wondered whether New Zealand was going to have a representative at that forum.
That is a very interesting question, and I will make contact with Judy McGregor. Professor Judy McGregor at AUT has done world-breaking research into aged care and the pay and conditions of the aged care workers. And she has also been part of CEDAW, which is the women's rights and women's conditions in the workplace and in other democracy spheres. She's represented CEDAW at UN, and they've been going recently. They've had, I think, two each year they've gone over the last 2 years. So I will contact her and see, because seniors are a subset of their discussions, of course, and women don't fare so well in older age. They may not die as young as men, but they don't have as much money, and their poverty in old age is tied to the fact they don't earn equal pay during their working life. So all of that's very much in the news at the moment, the equal pay campaign. And so I think that it will be very worthwhile to talk to Judy, and I may have her on the program short, you know, in a few weeks. But that I would follow up for another reason, and that is that about 3 years ago, it was brought to my attention that there was a movement to get a UN convention on the rights of older people established, and people were working around the world on this. And the person who drew my attention to this was a president of County's Manukau Grey Power, and an 80-year-old man, and he was very interested in this, and this was one of his passions. And so I have, you know, a personal mission to follow this through, because when you look at what has happened for disabled people, how they can challenge governments, councils, they can take them to court if access to buildings is not up to scratch and so on and so forth. So much power resides when you've got teeth, legal teeth, to be able to act in the courts.
Yep.
And that framework of rights is, rather than going on a needs basis, is going to really up the ante.
I completely agree with you. And talking about upping the ante, you know, the other thing that they include in this newsletter, and I was delighted to discover this because I am of the African continent, a migrant to New Zealand, but there is an announcement that Kenya is launching this month a universal pension plan that 500,000 older people who are aged 70 and above, regardless of circumstances, will have access to a reliable income. And for the African continent, I know that that's probably a leading initiative. And so solidarity with people across the globe who are drawing attention to the you know, the needs of growing old in a dignified space that's respected. So, yes, I was delighted when I read that as well.
That's a very exciting initiative. And it shows that people around the world are focused on this. In India, the Indian government is placing a great deal of emphasis on the well-being of seniors and what they can do to make seniors' contributions better valued in society. And the Indian consulate was represented at the Bhaktiya Samaj event for World Elder Abuse Awareness Day last Saturday, and he was very forceful about what was needed and what leadership needed to come through to support this. The police, the New Zealand police, actually was there with a strong contingent, and they have the same kind of message. They are actually running drop-in sessions in cafes so that they're more accessible to people. People can just come in and have a chat and say, and by the way, this is going on, I'm very concerned about it. And so it's possible to raise issues easily. We've also got that 0800 number of elder abuse, which is government-sponsored and 24/7 available with registered nurses manning that number. So people who see something happening or become aware of it can actually report it easily.
Well, that's great, yes, because I think there's very often a stigma associated with speaking out. And that unfortunately allows the abuse to continue far longer with probably much more traumatic outcomes. You have to nip this in the bud and remind people that it's absolutely not okay.
Well, I think one of the things that's coming up too is that the ethnic communities have taken this to heart. They have recognised that social isolation sometimes happens even more intensely in their own communities for language reasons and lack of transport and other issues. And so they are raising awareness within their own communities, but they're also taking that message through that it's not unique to their community. In other words, people are being scammed or financially abused, not because they're Indian or Sri Lankan or Asian of any type, but simply because they're senior. And that's really quite a hard thing to get through to some people.
Yes, because there's a shame associated sometimes with actually, you know, suggesting that you seem to have been silly enough to have actually fallen for something when in fact I know that even within our own family, a family member has recently, very recently, been on the receiving end of a scam, and they lost a significant amount of money. They lost two lots of $9,000 taken out of their bank account as a result. And it was a very, very cleverly thought through and sophisticated way of hooking somebody in who wasn't necessarily all that digitally literate, and then absolutely maximising every opportunity to extract as much money as they could, which is a terrible, terrible thing for the person to discover at the end, and was, I think, trying to ask for help when you feel that you actually... you doubting your own capacity because you feel silly that you've actually landed in that situation is actually quite difficult as well.
So I will spell out that 0800 number. It's 0800 32 66 865. So that number is for people to report abuse, discuss suspected abuse, or themselves, if they are in a difficult situation, they can talk that situation through, because they may not be aware of how much help is really available.
Yes, and I think increasingly there's been a whole of government approach to addressing the whole issue related to scams. So yes, I think there are, you know, there are multiple agencies that are actually now much, much more aware of the area of elder abuse and the possibilities and the subtle ways in which people worm their ways into to actually, you know, trying to hold power over someone who's potentially quite vulnerable.
Indeed.
Yep.
And talking about that, one of the strongest things that we can be doing is bringing out the value that seniors have in society, their worth, the value of their contributions. And that's been done in Donalds by economic studies. It's also being done by leaders who are drawing attention to things, who are doing research, and who are educating the community. And so it's been very pleasing to see that in the last two rounds of New Year's honours, we've had people like yourself being honoured for their services to seniors. And, you know, I've been really, really moved to see just the quality and the range of people who are working in the sector, and seeing the cream of these being awarded New Year's honours is a way of saying, look, we've got our sports heroes and our people who do service to sports, but we've also got our people who do service to seniors.
Well, it has. I must admit, from my own account, I was quite flabbergasted when I received the letter to say that I was nominated. But it's really, really important, as you say, to have people's contributions in this area recognised. And I was absolutely delighted when the Queen's Birthday Honours List in 2017, when Dame Peggy Koopman-Boyden was recognised, because she has 45 years of service to seniors and drawing attention to the needs of seniors in a whole variety of aspects, but more particularly, she spent the last 25 years in Hamilton, and she, as a social gerontologist, was aware of the fact that we have an ageing population and was determined to collect evidence to inform policy. But more recently, of course, she's actually worked to ensure she was firstly chair of Hamilton City Council's Older Persons Advisory Panel, and was determined that Hamilton would become the first city in New Zealand to become an age-friendly city. And, you know, when Peggy sets her mind on something, by goodness, she always delivers, and she certainly has delivered. Because, as you know, Hamilton has recently had something to celebrate, and that's because they have become the 600th age-friendly city as part of the WHO age-friendly city global network.
Indeed, and it is a world... a world celebration, because the UN team came out here to celebrate with the Hamilton City Council and the Mayor, and you know, really made a fuss over it because it was quite a big benchmark. And, of course, Hamilton is the first city in New Zealand, so it was a double whammy. But Peggy's role in that, in shepherding through the policy that got final endorsement for the Hamilton City Council to adopt it and fully get in behind the UN movement, which means they're actually not just signed up to a piece of paper, they are actually signed up to a process. And so a team of UN people will come, and once they've decided which particular parts of the model, which particular services and areas they want to focus on to improve for seniors, then that team will come in, benchmark where they're at currently, and then say, okay, let's look 5 years hence. What's your plan for the next 5 years? And then they will come back in 5 years and assess them against their criteria and against what was in the original plan. So it's meant to be transparent and independent, and keeping them honest. That's the process.
Absolutely. And, you know, the important thing is that it's not a top-down. It's not the UN dictating to Hamilton what they need to do.
No.
It's actually Hamilton going to their citizens, going to grassroots organisations and establishing achievable and sustainable outcomes for that will benefit those communities over the next 5 years. And I think that's wonderful, because it's community-led development and you know, there's win-wins all the way around. And in the meantime, older people are becoming more visible.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
And I also think that it's wonderful to recognise that this is a final Olympic finish for what's been a marathon effort.
Yep.
It started back many years ago when Aged Concern and groups supported a positive ageing strategy.
Yep.
And it was out of that positive ageing strategy and people raising awareness that we needed to revision what we thought of seniors and what their role was in society. And I met with Helene Crown from Tainui on the weekend. She attended the Bhaktia Samaj event, and she was telling me back in the day what the things they did and how they pioneered positive ageing in the Hamilton area.
Yeah.
And so it's people who've put effort in like that over the years that have allowed then the final push to come through. And
yep.
I guess it's similar in Auckland, but we've taken a sideways step because of amalgamation. We used to have two very strong positive ageing focuses within the region, and they were in Waitakere and on the North Shore. But amalgamation has meant we've gone to the lowest common denominator. We've lost that
The impetus
and the platform that was already built and so strongly built. And so it's wonderful that Janet Clues, with her background from being Deputy Mayor at Waitakere, it's wonderful that she is heading the seniors panel at the moment, because that gives an extra impetus to, help in the process of guiding people who want to really influence the city and get the city moving towards this.
Yep, absolutely. When you talk about Aged Concern's contributions to the whole area, one of the other people who's been recently named, there are two people who were named in the in the Queen's Birthday Honours list in 2018, and one of them is Dr. Judith Davey, who lives in Wellington. She's the Lower North Island Regional Representative for the New Zealand Association of Gerontology. And it's really interesting because the links with the New Zealand Association of Gerontology are quite strong, because Peggy started a branch in Hamilton and steered that through for many years. I was involved in the 1990s in Palmerston North, associated with the Hamilton branch, with the Wellington branch, because we were sort of like a satellite group. But Judith Davey she was the director of the New Zealand Institute for Research on Ageing, associated with Victoria University from 2002 to 2007. And she's not just an academic who's published widely, but she's actually also an accredited visitor for Age Concern. So she, you know, she's out there doing her community service as well. And I noticed in her citation that she's currently receiving and involved with a study for the National Science Challenge that is examining how a range of cultures experience loneliness and assessing the effectiveness of Age Concern's accredited visiting service. So, you know, she's a wonderful person down in Wellington who's actually put in many years of trying to make older people's issues much, much more visible. And then the other person, and I mean, I've been very, very lucky because my network of researchers in the ageing spectrum have included, been able to communicate and collaborate with all of these women, and they are significantly women. The other person is Kay Saville-Smith, who's actually on the citation list as Dr. Catherine Julie Saville-Smith. But Kay is wonderful because her mum was a housing refugee from Christchurch, and so she rolled up her sleeves. She's a social science researcher, sociologist by background, and she got stuck in and established a housing trust in the Marlborough Downs, and actually just learnt from the ground up about, you know, establishing something that was going to be really worthwhile. It's an intergenerational housing trust, but her research for a centre that she has set up and has directed, the Centre of Research Evaluation and Social Assessment, the acronym is CRESA, has been really looking at how to accommodate people better, to and particularly older people, and she's very significantly aware of the fact that increasingly we are retiring in New Zealand, not owning our own homes. And so the notion of actually being able to rent and have security of tenure in a warm, dry house that is accessible and is actually within you're able to communicate with the community needs that you need is absolutely critical to aging well. So I was delighted to see that Kay's was actually receiving an honours as well.
Yes, and thank you very much for outlining the contributions of those women, because any of them I could have interviewed on the program, I'm sure. But it's really good to have an Aucklander who's aware of all these things with us and able to articulate just the wonderful work that's gone on behind them receiving these honours.
Yes, it's always a buzz when you see someone's name that you recognise and you think, ah, there's someone who really, really is worthy of that honour.
Yes, and there is a gerontology conference being held in Auckland from the 6th to the 8th of September this year.
That's right.
And I've no doubt that Kay Saville-Smith will be there. She was a leading keynote speaker 2 years ago in Wellington at the conference there, and she's got more to add because she's been doing research continuously since that time.
Absolutely. And the great thing about Kay's research, it is not just academic theoretical. She's very much hands-on, just like rolling up her sleeves and establishing a housing trust to house her mother. She's actually very good at developing practical tools that can be used throughout communities throughout New Zealand. Look forward to discovering what she's going to be bringing out of her box of her toolkit next.
Indeed, and that's what we need. We need people who are prepared to look ahead and say, yep. Well, look, hang on, if we do what we've always done, we'll get what we've always got, which is seniors will remain invisible, they won't be at the discussion table, and budget at council on social issues won't be directed towards them. It's still very difficult without a policy framework that says we support the age-friendly city in place, we have these constant battles to try and make sure that seniors are getting a reasonable share of direction and focus and funding in the community. And one of the areas I think that's shows up is transport, because they don't commute to work necessarily, although some seniors do work and they work until 75 or 80. But, you know, the transport model of servicing public transport is around commuting to work rather than cross-town services and so on. And I'm delighted to see this improvement in the Central Isthmus with the new bus services, the new routes coming out on the 8th of July. I'll talk a little bit further down the program about how people can get up-to-date information on that, because the bus routes will have different numbers, and it may be disconcerting for people, and they may get on what they think is a familiar service and it may be taking them somewhere else. So we need to talk about that more, and we will do so in a further program as well. The other area I think that is really quite challenging is the housing, and you've brought it up, Kay Savile-Smith's research, and I would just like to say that even though the government build houses, the new Kiwi build houses that are just beginning, the new work that Housing New Zealand has been commissioning in Northcote and in Mount Roskill, I've actually been through some finished homes in Northcote, terraced houses, and they're very cleverly designed by Raywee Thompson, the former architect, Māori architect, who's internationally renowned. They're beautiful homes, actually. And I can see that intergenerational aspects could be incorporated. What I'm actually concerned is that the smaller one and two bedrooms are not particularly disability friendly, and therefore they're not senior friendly.
Yep.
Because those two overlap. So there needs to be more work done in this area. What I would just like to say as we finish off here is that probably we could do six more programs based on the things we've talked about this morning. There is so much happening out there. But by recognising older people, by recognising contributions made in the sector of older people, we are in fact building resilience. We're actually building a stronger senior community, and we're also standing up and being counted and being visible, and that is the best defence against abuse.
Absolutely. It's so, that connection. So thank you for the focus of this program, and I hope that people who are listening to it are encouraged to speak out where they see and feel that it's needed.
Thank you, Judy, for joining us today, and I wish you well in your studies. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye. And in a very important announcement, Auckland Grey Power is holding a meeting on the 29th of June at 1 p.m. and we're welcoming the Minister for Seniors, the Honourable Tracy Martin, who will be talking about elder abuse and the plans government has for making seniors more resilient and offering them more assistance. So that will be a very interesting meeting, and we're open to everyone. After Tracy finishes at 2 o'clock, we will hold our AGM. So if you're a member, stay for that. Otherwise, you're most welcome to come and join us. You may even want to become a member. But Tracy will be with us on the 29th of June, which is a Friday, at 1 p.m. at the Fickling Centre, which is 546 Mount Albert Road, just near the corner of Mount Albert and Mount Eden Road. So there's buses and available through there, and parking is good. Now, to finish, Joni Mitchell with Big Yellow Taxi.
So they paved paradise, put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, boutique and a swinging night spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. They took all the trees, put them in a
together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.